I often start my day in a fog of unreality, but this was ridiculous. One minute I was market shopping, next I witnessed an apparition. The thin, polluted air swirled and out stepped a girl my age. She looked like a pre-Raphaelite pin-up, impossibly pallid and ethereal, her hair like a halo but with intelligence, and as I watched, she blinked, focusing, and joyous surprise filled her face. I glanced around, but the shoppers had taken no notice of this visitor. Somebody else had, but Weasel the beggar had merely noted an easy mark. Instantly, she insinuated herself into the stranger's company. "Spare you $2," the girl exclaimed, "but that's American currency. Have we been invaded?" Weasel was momentarily thrown, just long enough for me to intervene. As I did, a heavy bag in the arms of a man coming out of the fishmongers split, and we were suddenly ankle-deep in whitebait. The girl took a step in her buttoned boots, but skidded. As if I were a romance hero, I offered her my arm. She accepted, and I led her out of the fishy crush. "Thank you, sir," she said, releasing me. I nodded, wondering how to say I was a Miss, despite my cropped hair, jeans and docks. Moreover, I was very aware that her touch had felt glassy, unreal. She was corporeal, but somehow not quite there. It seemed uncannily familiar, that situation, as if I had read it in one of the musty, foxed, incredible books that were the subject of my thesis, and then I knew that I had. My life was currently dominated by Catherine Helen Spence and many others, minor 19th century women writers of a future perfect society and Australian utopia. I had read Victorian women transported by laudanum dreams or an angel back, or in time machines into their future, an idealised era bearing minimal resemblance to my own imperfect times. For me to encounter, as if sprung from the page, a fellow traveller of theirs seemed perfectly natural. The visitor was watching Weasel at work. "I perceive that some things haven't changed," she said, "but I've never been asked for more than halfpennies before. Are we now part of an American empire?" I paused, eyeing the nearby McDonald's. "Not formally, and I'm not a man either." She regarded me admiringly. "How splendid that the teachings of the Rational Dress Association should prevail. There were so few at our picnics where we felt very daring in knickerbockers." Luckily, she had her back to the girl in hot pants and platform boots. "Then, since it had to be asked, I did so. Are you like Henrietta Dugdale, spending a few hours in a far-off age?" "A great work," she said, smiling. "I long to do the same, but differently." "And you have," I said. Shall we talk further, in a quieter place, perhaps?" As we crossed the road, a tram passed, and she stopped in not only her tracks, but those of the tram coming from the opposite direction until I dragged her to safety. "Exquisite, your modern transport," she enthused. As I led her into the cafe, I thought least likely to give her future shock.